You might think you're good at marketing. You might want to get more organic reach for your LinkedIn posts. You might want to get more people knowing about your business. Well, today I'm with a super duper expert that we've been connected on LinkedIn, Dan Knowlton. And he's going to be talking about all the ways where you can grow your organic reach without spending any money. If that sounds like something you want to listen to, stay tuned. Dan, hello.
Hello, that was smooth. Wow, that was a good intro.
We've done a few. Shutters in the background. What I'm going to do is we're going to record this for a podcast, but we're also snipping it up into videos as well. So we'll get the salient points, but we know people are listening on podcasts and stuff. You made a video about me on LinkedIn. Sort of saying, I don't know why this guy doesn't get any more recognition and reach. And yeah. I just went, I don't know either. It's a real problem. I want to talk to you about how that changes, because you're obviously smashing it on LinkedIn. You've only got 7,000 followers, but you get more interactions, likes and stuff than me. Yeah. And I put a lot more content out than you.
But yeah.
Not slagging you off, I just do. But slagging myself off, you get more reactions than me. You know, what am I doing wrong? What do most people do wrong on social media to get organic reach?
I think just looking at our experience of how we've managed to get all of this interaction and business from LinkedIn, it's about one-to-one interaction. I think something we do very well is producing content and also proactively engaging with other people's content and having those one-to-one interactions.
Let me just stop you there. You are putting active effort into commenting on other people's.
Yeah. And it seems, we spoke about this earlier, it may seem, a lot of people say, why would you're a business owner, you've got lots to think about, why are you investing your time in having one-to-one interactions with people? You should be running your business. Whereas I get that, but for me, the way we've built our influence in such a short space of time, not just on LinkedIn, but in the market.
What is that short space of time?
4.5 years.
Okay.
And the way that's how we've grown our business, by building my personal brand up as the marketing guy, the social media guy.
Well, mate, I think you're really good. Talk to me about that proactive stuff. Like, how often are you posting? So what are you hashtagging business and just finding people?
No, so every day, it's not a good thing personally, but I'm constantly on my phone. So I'm constantly, the first thing I do when I wake up is I look at my phone and I'm interacting on social media and LinkedIn.
LinkedIn more than anything else?
Probably because I'm getting some of the most engagement on LinkedIn. I personally respond to every person that comments on all of my posts.
So I do that on my stuff, but you're actually, what I'm saying is you're going out to other people's and...
So I'm looking through my LinkedIn feed and proactively commenting on other people's posts. When there's something of interest where I think I can add value. Someone might be talking about business strategy or social strategy, and I've got a lot to share on that. So I'll dive in and say, you know what, I think you should be doing X, Y, Z.
And is that getting you customers?
Yeah. Yeah. And here's the reason why. Two good things for that. Firstly, I'm demonstrating that I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Right. Secondly, I'm driving traffic to my LinkedIn profile.
Yeah.
Thirdly, when they land on my LinkedIn profile, my whole profile is optimized to make people want to do business with me. Right?
How?
The way I'm doing that is by putting myself in the shoes of a customer who I want to attract to do business with. When they land on my profile, what do they need to see to believe that I'm the best solution to their problem? So why should they come and work with our agency over other agencies? There's things like reinforcing social proof in my header of my LinkedIn profile with me speaking on a massive stage with people listening to me. It's those small things that make people think, wow, he must know what he's talking about.
Are you trying to get people that found you, and this is definitely my methodology here, are you trying to get people to find you online but then drive them to come to an offline real event to turn them into customers, or do you try and turn them into customers online?
That's one part of the bigger picture. So our whole strategy is focused around a traditional marketing funnel where you've got kind of three stages: awareness, consideration, purchase. Yeah. And that kind of represents the journey someone goes on from not knowing who we are to trusting that we can deliver what we say we can deliver to help them solve their problem to eventually converting into a customer. So at the top of that funnel, there's things like speaking on stages across the world where people discover me. There's things like...
And have you got to speak on stages?
Through hard work, through... reaching out to, 4 years ago, reaching out to the local Chamber of Commerce and speaking in front of 5 to 10 people about 20 times, shitting myself, being well scared, hating it, but pushing myself to do that, eventually getting better and better, reading the Chris Anderson's book, TEDx book, is insane in terms of, that's helped me develop my speaking, just doing it and And
really, how have you got on the stage? Because so many business owners struggle to get on the stage.
A number of ways. The first thing is focusing on only providing value on stage, not trying to sell. Yeah. This is how we've gone about it. So at no point in any talk I've ever given have I tried to sell anything. Yeah. And what that does is people get to the end of it and I've focused on providing so much value, teaching, educating, that then they're waiting for a sales pitch and I'm like, there's none. Great, I hope you enjoyed that. You get trust, that builds trust. People don't think you're just there to try and sell them something. They think, wow, this guy's trying to... So focusing on that, people see...
But still, how did he get on those stages?
So from event organisers being in the audience, seeing me speak, that's one. Through going to the events that I want to attend, building relationships with the decision makers that decide who speaks, and then reaching out to them and saying...
How many times a year do you speak on stage, would you say?
Probably once or twice a month.
Fantastic, mate. Oh, that's really good.
Yeah. But I mean, but it's because we know
they vary in size.
Yeah, so it varies in some are high paid speaking opportunities, some are not paid at all. So for example, Social Media Marketing World, which is one of the biggest social media marketing events in the world in San Diego, I'm speaking there again next year. They don't pay you a penny. But what you get in return is the value of the perception of speaking on that stage. You're trusted as the go-to person to for social media because you're speaking on that stage. Also, like connecting with other event organizers on LinkedIn. But the main focus is focusing on improving being a speaker. That's what's kind of, yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing, mate.
But you should be, how often are you speaking on stage? You're wicked, you know, I've seen your content. You should be.
Once or twice a year?
That's ridiculous.
it's more than that. It goes in fits and starts. I mean, I don't push it enough like what you're doing. I used to.
Yeah.
I mean, when people call me up and, you know, and I speak free and I charge depending on what the opportunity is for us as a business. Mm. But I think speaking on stage can definitely generate you leads and customers. And I actually think speaking on stage drives people to be loyal to follow you online, doesn't it?
I think it's the most powerful form of communication because when you can step on stage and have that connection with the audience and genuinely impact their lives, that it triggers emotion and emotion is what makes people take action. You know, that's why video works so well online because it's the closest thing to interacting with a real person. Whereas when you're on stage, you can actually have all of those people listening to your every word for half an hour, and that helps you build that trust.
Okay, I want to ask a quick fire here. 5 ways to grow your organic reach on LinkedIn.
1, ask questions. Sounds really simple, but actually asking your audience questions gets them to respond, gets them to comment. The thing that has the biggest impact on the algorithm organically is people commenting. And we found recently, people who, when you receive comments that are longer form comments, you reach more people. So this is why LinkedIn pods and things aren't going to work or they're going to die out, because if you get people just commenting, this is good, this is great, this is fun, LinkedIn knows that's just a throwaway comment, they're not going to show more people.
Yeah.
2, anytime anyone comments on your content, as soon as possible, reply to them, tag them in the comments so they instantly get a notification, and ask them a question to continue that conversation going.
Reply and tag, that's it. Most people just reply, they don't tag. No. I don't think I tag.
Yeah.
No.
So you should tag. 3.
So repeat their name in the
comments. Tag them because they'll instantly get a notification.
Yeah.
3.
Tell me more. 3.
3. Create grenade post. We spoke about this off camera, but this is the content that gets the biggest response, right? Yeah. So a grenade post is where you share your content. If it's a text-based post, text-based post as well. If it's a video, you speak about something where there's a strong opinion, a strong divided opinion with your audience. So for example, I'll give you an example. Literally yesterday, 2 days ago, I posted about receiving direct sales pitches in direct message on LinkedIn. So someone connects with you on LinkedIn, and the first thing they send you is a sales pitch to say, hi, I can help you with your marketing, right? So there's 2 trails of thought here. Some people hate it. Some people who are real sales guys say it works. Why would you not? So I posted about that and there's divided opinion. People either agree with you or they don't. So if they agree with you, they comment, help the algorithm. If they disagree, they comment, help the algorithm. I had people in the comments having arguments with each other, which was just... showing the content to loads of people because they're having those conversations with
people. So a grenade is to have a controversial
split opinion. I think you need to do more of this because I think you're an opinionated person.
If someone, for example, put on a political statement, I love Donald Trump.
Well, So one thing I'll be careful of is there's a boundary. If say your training business, right?
Yeah. If you're trying,
I don't love Donald Trump, by the way. I don't even know what I feel about him, whether I like.
Yeah, we don't know.
This is not a political thing, but I'm trying to get an example.
I'll give you a good example in a minute. But you've got to be careful with things like political stuff. You could be putting off half of the business owners that would pay for you to train them
for sure.
Because you've said you love Trump.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's the opinion pieces around topics. I'd stay away from religion, anything to do with like fascism, sexism, politics.
Well, Dan, I want an example.
An example, I gave you one with my one. An example for you, I say, could be, put me on the spot here. I'm trying to think of your content. Things around why business owners should sack themselves. You've created content around this before, so it could be around business owners are consider themselves too self-important to sack themselves, right? They think they're the be-all and end-all, whereas they're...
Is that enough, though?
No, that's probably not enough. No, I need more time to come up an example. Okay, let's do this. Let's do a little workshop, right?
Yeah.
Tell me, what have you got a strong opinion on that isn't political? What do you see business owners doing, or not even that, people on LinkedIn or people online?
I get on the spot. It's, you know, now you've turned it on. I think I would post something like, I'll be honest, my business has taken all my spare time away from me. Am I doing the right thing? Should I carry on?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Because that
may damage your relationships at home. That may damage your family. And it's impact. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah, asking why I should carry on would probably, you know, make the algorithm explode. Because everyone wants to, you know, one of the big things about human beings, everyone wants to be the judge rather than the judged. Mm. And it's one of my favourite phrases of describing human beings. Everyone wants to give the advice rather than give it to themselves, don't they? And so if you can put out stuff where you're opening up people to support you and say why you should carry on, I think that would work. I love that. We don't do enough of that. We are always try and play it safe and just...
I feel like you need to position yourself more as a thought leader, because you are. You're so successful, right? But to the outside world, you're sharing some vanilla opinions on things. That, like the Boris Johnson thing recently, you're kind of very much sharing your opinion on business in...
I designed that letter. I mean, did you see the heading I used?
Yeah, I can't believe it.
Only a stupid
Prime Minister wouldn't read this.
Would ignore this letter. Yeah. And, and I put the ignore in italics and bolded the strip because that's my marketing training, get attention. And so most people are probably going to look at that thinking, oh, this is going to be political. I want to get involved in that. It's not political at all. Right. It was actually strategies and tactics to grow the UK economy and help business owners.
But that's why you have to have understanding marketing, no matter, like, as for business owners, is so important, because you know how to put that spin to get the attention. Yeah. If you would have just said, here's a letter I wrote to Boris Johnson, no one would give a shit, no one would care. Yeah. Whereas you've got that marketing spin. It's kind of a bit like clickbait. So I think there is a line that you've got to be careful to cross. But
I mean, people always moan about clickbait and say, oh, it's the most awful thing. But newspapers have been doing that since time began. I mean, the Sun newspaper write headings.
Yeah.
And then the story has nothing really in relevance to the heading. You know, it does have a correlation. But, you know, that's the way human beings work. And you need to understand that, don't you?
That's why I think it's so important to invest in your marketing.
You're on three, Sunshine.
What about number four?
Four, proactive engagement. Have I said this one out? I don't.
Yeah, but we've skirted around a bit of this.
Proactive engagement. Every day, you need to be scheduling 20 minutes or so to proactively comment on other people's content and add meaningful comments. And I've already spoken about
it. You do that. You don't sub that out to a team member.
I do that. No, but I don't set 20 minutes and do it. I'm just on my phone throughout the day scrolling, and I see something interesting, I'll add my...
But that increases your network, doesn't it, on LinkedIn? Yeah. That's...
Yeah. Do you want five?
Yeah, I do want five.
I'll give you 10, mate, if you want. No, number five is to optimise your profile. So...
What does that mean in bloody... Term. Yeah.
Okay, so one of the... There's two kind of ways that you can get discovered on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Through search, someone searching in the search bar, or through the feed. Through you posting something, someone comments on it, and then you see in your feed all the time, so-and-so commented on this post, so-and-so liked this post, right? So through search, people are searching for someone like you to solve their problem. So what you need to do...
On LinkedIn?
Yeah. People are searching... Okay, I'll give you an example. Yeah. If you want to do more speaking on stages across the world, this is how we get some of our highest paid speaking gigs. We get LinkedIn messages from event organizers in, I'm going to Romania to speak at an event in Digitalium. The guy just DM'd me, who runs an event with 1,000+ people, to say, come speak at my event, etc. And that's because I've optimized the keywords in my profile to be found as a keynote speaker. I've also optimized my profile to demonstrate that I'm a good keynote speaker by showing videos of me keynote speaking, all of that kind of stuff. So it's mainly around keywords in your headline, in your profile.
And how many people, have we done that, Chance?
Optimized your profile?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty well.
Yeah, I'm gonna get you to look at it and just see what you think about. I mean, how many people are doing that, would you say?
Well, there's lots of marketers are talking about optimizing your profile and things, but.
Not marketeers, like, how many people, so there's 2 million people on LinkedIn in the UK. How many people, how often do you come across a well-optimized LinkedIn profile?
Every now and again, people that we've trained have got really good profiles, but I think that lots of people have good profiles, but it's just it's a quick win. But a key thing to do, James, is read an article by a guy called Brian Dean. Brian Dean, he runs a company called Backlinko. He's written a very comprehensive article.
Spelling Dean?
D-E-A-N.
D-E-A-N.
I love that you're writing this down. Brian Dean, he's got an article which is about keyword research. So it's all good and well me saying to you, James, optimize your profile to be found for training or whatever you want to be found for, but you need to do research to understand how to find the keywords people are searching for. Yep. That article is very comprehensive and it shows you how to do that step by step.
Okay, how often do people need to be posting on LinkedIn? You know, LinkedIn is your favorite social platform at the moment because of organic reach.
No, because of revenue. Like, yes, organic reach, it's all nice to say.
There's good people on LinkedIn.
Yeah, because for us, you know, there's people who are hiring event organizers. There's you know, C-suite marketers who, from big brands, you know, we've worked with the likes of Eurotunnel, FIFA, Nestle. People from those brands are contacting us to want to do business with them because they see the content we're producing.
So if you could put a percentage of your business, how much a percentage of your business has come as a direct result of LinkedIn?
It's very difficult. And this is a great question, but it's very difficult because there's so many different things we're doing and touch points we're creating that influence a person to do business with us. For example, right, say Eurotunnel. So this is a client we're working with, you know, the train between.
This guy is showing off here, isn't he? Eh?
No.
Eurotunnel!
I want to show you examples. So we asked...
The big Don, Dan.
We're still a tiny business, mate. Compared to your success, we're small base.
I don't do marketing for tunnels.
So we asked a social media manager, how did he discover us? And he you know, mentioned all of these different points, saw me speak at an event, saw the content I was posting on Twitter, read our blog, signed up to our weekly newsletter, came to an event that we organized. Like, there's all these touch points. It's very difficult to say. Yes, I can give you how many people contact us on LinkedIn, but that's not the whole picture. You need a fully rounded strategy that has all these touch points. But
LinkedIn's a big part of it.
But yeah, for us, LinkedIn's a big part of it.
Instagram, do anything on Instagram?
Yeah, for Instagram, I'll tell you something new that I've just started, which is working really well. Every day on Insta Stories, Chudders, can you edit my handle in here? Yep. Dan Nelson 1. Every day on...
Taking the mic out of us. He's showing all of his big dong clients.
No.
Eurotunnel, Insta.
Every day on Insta, at the end of the day, I do like a reflection video where I talk through all the things I've learned, the challenges I've had, and like, it's real, it's raw, this was a shit day, I'm really stressed, as a story.
And you're doing that for 15 seconds, multiples.
I do it, I record it, it's usually about 2 minutes, and then upload it as multiple things. That's had some of the best response in the DMs from business owners going, oh, it's so refreshing to see someone actually talk about the shit stuff.
How many follow you on Instagram?
Not a lot. I don't know, how many is it now? About 4,000, 5,000? Not a lot at all.
We're half of that, it's embarrassing.
No, it's not.
So what about Facebook? What do you think of Facebook?
The Facebook ads platform is incredible. So most of the big brand work we do is through managing Facebook ad campaigns.
Yeah.
And the reason it's so powerful is because of their data. So there's been the whole Cambridge Analytica scandal because they've got so much data on you. They know more about you, about what you're interested in, than you know yourself. And they sell that to marketers like us.
Yeah,
I don't know why people got such a...
There's a Netflix documentary, isn't there?
Yeah. That's the way it is. If you want to use a platform for free, they've got to make money.
Well, Pete, they say it's free. You're paying with your data. It's like anything. Yeah. You're the product, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, so Facebook, if you're not using Facebook ads...
I'm seeing things that I might like to buy.
Yeah, but you're a business. You're a businessman. You get it. A lot of consumers who don't have that kind of mentality think, yeah, oh, you're trying to sell me stuff. You know, I'm showing you stuff that you're interested in because you've...
YouTube, you're not a big fan of, are you?
I like YouTube. As a... We haven't cracked YouTube, so it's, you know...
That's why you don't like it.
No, not that I don't like it. We just, I can't provide you as much value talking about YouTube as anything else. So,
what about email marketing? Are you still doing emails as marketing?
Yep. So we've got something called the Friday Club. Link there. I'm joking.
Friday Club.
So the Friday Club, every Friday I basically write an email. Everything I've learned from that week, the best pieces of content, the best podcasts I've listened to, I'll talk about this, I'll talk about how rubbish this meeting was. Yeah, no, I talked about you this morning, and I linked to your YouTube. Do you not see the spike in your subscribers? I said I was coming here, but I share the best...
What's that I can smell? Bullshit, that's what it is.
I shared I was coming here, honestly. There's a bit I talk about other business, and I talked about this.
So that's the Friday Club, and that goes out an email.
Every Friday, business owners, marketers, and again...
Because a lot of marketeers and business owners are slagging off email saying it's not working as well as it used to. Is that because they're being overselling and not value enough?
Yes, and it's because they're not innovating. Like you mentioned earlier about innovating, people are just sending spammy, crappy emails. So our Friday Club, all it's focused on, the number one objective is to think about what does our audience want to see.
Yeah.
And we share everything we've learned from that week, the best bits. We never try and sell anything. It's never trying to be salesy. So trying to innovate and trying to be different.
What about text message marketing? Do that?
No, but I think it's a brilliant idea.
Yeah. Next thing, why don't you write a book?
I'm going to.
Good.
Any tips?
Well, yeah, I would...
Wait, sorry. Let's just... What are these books here, James? These look...
These are from a really, but basically it was an ex-model that became a business owner.
Oh, really?
But this is the new one that we've just put together, Getting Customers. The way I always tell people to de-simplify a book is to think that you're writing a keynote presentation, not a book.
Right.
And that's that, because it seems like such a task to get over the line. I'm not someone that's great with words, but it seems like just like this monumentous task.
What's the process? Do you record yourself saying stuff and someone writes it, or do you
as a keynote presentation?
Right, okay.
I do force myself not to think
about
writing
a book. You must have someone help.
Yeah, you have to write. Yeah, it goes through some edits and edits. Okay. But yeah, I write it because, you know, I think when you're in the space that you're in, you know, people are going to quote back to you. Now, this book also just is a script for training programs. It's great. The great thing about books is to attract staff to come and work for you. That's the thing I never realised You know,
I've never heard anyone say that.
Yeah, if you get an A-class player that comes and works for you because they've read your book, they know they're
like Chudders.
Yeah. You know, Chudders saw me speak at, you know, that's the other great thing about speaking. You know, you can, you know, attract great team members to come and work for you. We use this thing called Market Message Media. We want to know who our market is. We want to know what our message is, who our market is, and then choose the right medias for them. Do you find that most business owners now, because they've got access to media so easily, cheaply, and freely compared to, say, the 1970s, mm-hmm. you know, that they don't think about their message and their market enough?
Yeah, and no. I think that something, a big barrier we come up against is people don't start because they worry too much about that. There's this whole thing around, yes, they should be worrying about that, but they don't start because they haven't got the right message or whatever, they haven't got the right equipment, they haven't got this, they haven't got that, and it stops them starting. So I think that you need to have a balanced approach. We always say the starting point whenever you're developing any kind of marketing strategy, digital, social, is to develop that strategy and look at the journey your customers go on, awareness, consideration, purchase, and create the different forms of media that are going to attract, convince, and convert them in all the places where they're consuming information. The number one place they're consuming information is on their phone, right? So that's why digital and social is so important, because they're staring at it all day.
Oh, Dan, this was just a fascinating chat.
I love that you've written notes. That's pretty cool.
Well, it's just
like old school, you love on the whiteboards and
yeah, because no one does it anymore. Got to be unusual, haven't you? I just the grenade post, that was something I really love. The reply and tag the person in that, I think, was the thing that I really got out of that. Optimize your profile. These are all things that people can do for free, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, actually, one more thing.
Go on, bonus.
I've written a 5,000 plus word LinkedIn marketing guide that on our website, kpsdigitalmarketing.co.uk, that shows you how to implement all the things I've spoken about with screenshots, step by step, and also best practice examples. So it's all there. I don't want anything from you. You can have it. It's all there.
Well, so if people want to find out about you, how you can... So when you your business model is you take a business and get them more leads by driving them... Mm-hmm. Well, and walk on pitch to me, you know.
Okay, so most businesses are stuck in their ways with marketing. They're complacent, right? Yeah. Even the ones that are doing social media well, they're still focused, and digital platforms, they're still focusing on what they want to put out or what's worked in the past, right? Whereas we know, our agency knows, that you need to be creative. You need to start putting yourself in the customer's shoes. What do you want to see in your feed on social media? Yeah. You know, you don't want to see me talking about our product and service. This is why you need to get ultra creative. When you're developing that strategy to attract, convince and convert, you need to be creating the content that they actually want to see. You need to be, like, a big thing we do is we integrate campaigns with culturally relevant topics. So for example, this Apple brand we work with, like I mentioned earlier, we know that their target demo watches Dancing on Ice, right? Yeah. So when Dancing on Ice was popping and all the target demo are at school dropping their kids off, talking about Dancing on Ice, we're producing content around Dancing on Ice and integrating the Apple brand with that content. Not only that, we're researching on Twitter, what are all of those that target demo talking about? What's the trending topics that we can create content around? And we're being creative, we're unique, we're different, and there's my pitch to you. And we've got proven results. We've got lots of case studies. I'd love to pitch you. Can we do your marketing?
Yeah.
Let's talk about it.
Okay.
Thanks, Dan. It's been great. So on LinkedIn, what's
Dan Knowlton is, yeah.
And we are spelling Knowlton.
K-N-O-W-L-T-O-N.
Correct.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for listening or watching wherever you are. I will see you real soon. Don't forget to leave us a review. Check Dan Knowlton on LinkedIn. He's a great guy. I thoroughly, thoroughly recommend him. See you real soon. Bye-bye.